Greetings once again, Lenten pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob bringing you today's Lenten Daily Devotional. It's our 36th episode of our daily devotions for Lent. It's our middle Sabbath, Wednesday, March 24th. And because it's a Wednesday, we usually would have our Zoom discussion group tonight, but we will be postponing that a week until next Wednesday due to the vision meeting tonight at Vine Street Christian Church that you're all welcome to attend. It's at 7 o'clock tonight in Fellowship Hall. So I hope you can cut out some time and make it for that, even just as an observer or listener. It's good to have a bigger cross-section of the church present at things such as these, and it means that some of those who aren't really wanting to be at a board meeting or a committee meeting, this is something different. This might be something you would at least enjoy listening to, if not participating in. So, there's my plug. I hope you can make it tonight at 7. We'll do our Zoom discussion group next Wednesday at 7 p.m. as usual. Well, this week, which we're in the middle of, the theme is significant changes happen. It's not a question of whether significant changes happen or not. They do, and they're from God. And to the extent that we're aligned with the path of God's light, then significant changes happen in our life. All for good, by the way, from God. And when we're not aligned with that beam of light from God, then we can remain stagnant. We can hold firm to the status quo and probably spend a lot of time living in the past. But God is momentary revelation. Every moment, a new revelation. So that's what we're talking about this week. Mary Alice Mulligan's going to provide some insights and comments on our scripture reading today, which is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. She's going to raise some interesting questions, which I kind of find, I want to say confusing, but I'm not sure confusing is the word. Provocative is the word I'm looking for. Provocative. They provoke my thinking. And then she has some discussion questions, and we're going to have our poem today from a book you may have heard of called The Bible. In fact, a book that's in the Bible, the Book of Psalms. So we'll share a little excerpts from a psalm with you, and then pray it out at the end. You may have heard we've got our ocean ambiance in the background, like doing our devotion on a tropical island. Amen. The view's fantastic, by the way. Our cerulean surf and sea candle is reaching for the sky, and our tea today. Could you tell? That tea is the super antioxidant green tea with a splash of milk, like the queen takes it. Amen. Okay, let's begin. Let's get to our scripture. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. This is the story of Jesus sending out his 12 apostles. And in Matthew's gospel, this is where Jesus names the 12. So let us open our ears to the word of God and let's listen for what God has to say in his word. Chapter 10 of Matthew, verses 1 through 8. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter. Then Andrew, Peter's brother. James, son of Zebedee. And John, James's brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector. Another James, the son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus. And Simon the Zealot. And finally, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus sent the 12 disciples out with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Amen. Here's some comments from Mary Alice Mulligan from her Lenten devotional, Go to Jerusalem, which we are doing. Amen. She looks at it this way. She says, even Jesus is influenced by Scripture and the religious traditions around him. He sends out his friends to preach the good news of God's love and to heal all manner of ailments without expecting payment, but with a blunt restriction. They must not go among Gentiles or enter Samaritan towns. Jesus says the word of God's realm is for the people of Israel. Only Jews receive healing from those who are sent out. We might understand a parent making sure her children alone are fed if there is famine in the land and she has only a small amount of food. But Jesus seems to have an infinite supply of healing power. If so, then he appears stingy with healings and sharing the good news of God's realm. After all, if the disciples share wholeness and the gospel with a group of non-Jews, isn't there still plenty left for the Jews? So before we hear Mary Alice Mulligan's reflective questions and insights, I'd like to respond to her comments because it's, for me, it's problematic to say, like the first line. You remember that? Even Jesus is influenced by Scripture and the religious traditions around him. That's an interesting way to put it. Is Jesus influenced? As if meaning he can change his mind or look at things differently because of Scripture or traditions? Jesus is Scripture. I mean, Scripture isn't really separated from Jesus, especially when we talk about the truth of the Word. The truth of the Word is Jesus. And the traditions around him are there to support the belief that Jesus is the Word, as the Gospel of John tells us. To say Jesus is influenced by Scripture, to me, doesn't sound right. And I don't believe he is influenced by Scripture. I believe Scripture is influenced by Jesus. So when Jesus sends out his friends to preach the good news only to the people of Israel, I assume by faith in my Lord Jesus Christ that there is a reason that he's only sending the 12 to the people of Israel to begin with. In fact, I can conjure up a number of good reasons. The apostles are still learning this gift they've been given by Jesus, and better to start off with their own kind than jump right into the other, so to speak. I could see that. I could see Jesus wanting to focus on the people of Israel first, because they are currently the lost sheep of Israel, as the gospel tells us. And the Gentile community has not been addressed yet by the movement of the way of Jesus. I mean, these are all hypotheticals, of course, but to come out of the box saying Jesus appears stingy with his healings and his sharing of the good news because he only sends his apostles to Jews in this particular text at this particular time, to me, seems off base about the reality of who Jesus is. So here's what she says to you in regarding your reflections. What do you think? That's always a good question. What do you think? Is it disturbing to think of Jesus not wanting to share the good news with others? Write your thoughts. I think you know mine. No, I don't think you're interpreting the situation correctly. But are you inclined to find an excuse for him or explain away his prejudice? I guess that's me. I don't consider it an excuse, or I don't think he's prejudiced. I think Jesus is God incarnate, and we can trust Jesus to always do the right thing. Mary Alice Mulligan goes on, might this help us remember Jesus is not only divine, he is also human? Actually, it's not an either or. It's a both and. Jesus is both fully divine and fully human. He's never not fully divine and fully human. At least we can all agree during his public ministry, which is when this is. She goes on, have you ever experienced a group that seems stingy with the gospel? Now we're talking. Oh, now we're into human beings that are not fully divine. Now we can see stinginess. Perhaps, she says, a congregation that claims to welcome all but seems to exclude some. And she asks, have you ever been stingy with the healing good news by remaining quiet when someone around you might have appreciated knowing Jesus loves them? So for me, Jesus is never stingy. And we, the church, often are. Amen. So our poem for today comes from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 139. And these are some verses excerpted from that psalm and put together into this poem. O Lord, you search me, and you know me. You know my resting and my rising. You discern my purpose from afar. You mark when I walk or lie down. All my ways lie open to you. Before ever a word is on my tongue, you know it, O Lord, through and through. Behind and before you besiege me, your hand ever laid upon me. For it was you who created my being and knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you for the wonder of my being and for the wonders of all your creation. Once more, from Psalm 139. O Lord, you search me and you know me. You know my resting and my rising. You discern my purpose from afar. You mark when I walk or lie down. All my ways lie open to you. Before ever a word is on my tongue, you know it, O Lord, through and through. Behind and before you besiege me, your hand ever laid upon me. For it was you who created my being and knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you for the wonder of my being and for the wonders of all your creation. Let us pray. Blessed Jesus, you are incarnate Word and Son of Mary. Like each of us, you were influenced by traditions. Help us to understand you. Amen.